could not find my way till Jesus shined his light on me, and then he turned on my night today. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. Not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.
When I reach that city and the gates swing open wide, I'm gonna sing redemption's story of how he brought me from the other side. When I reach that city and the gates swing open wide, I'm gonna sing redemption story of how he brought me from the other side. Now I'm saved by grace.
Hallelujah.
I've been saved by grace.
Hallelujah.
My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace.
Hallelujah.
I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. When I reach that city and the gates swing open wide, I'm gonna sing redemption's story of how he brought me from the other side.
When I reach that city and the gates swing open wide, I'm gonna sing a redemption story of how he brought me from the other side. Now I'm saved by grace.
Yes, I am.
I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace.
Oh, I like that.
I've been saved by grace.
I'm not.
It's not what I deserve.
Oh, I tell you right now, I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. I did not deserve it, but thank God, by grace, I'm saved. Well, by grace, I'm saved. If you're not saved by grace, you're in trouble. If you're not saved by grace, you're in trouble. Are you listening? Oh, great day. I don't get this right today for some reason. Different days, it acts different. Yeah, but here I am. Welcome to Open Bible Dialogue. We're going to have a great broadcast. We are going to have a great broadcast. And I believe you're going to enjoy it. And I want you to get ready with your phones. And I want calls today. We're going to talk about unknown tongues, God's language. Did you hear that? We're going to talk about unknown tongues, God's language. It is indeed God's language. I get a little backlash here on my end. I'm trying to calm it down a little bit because I want to be able to talk to you and I want you to hear me. I really do. I want to say things to you that will affect your life. Never has a day been greater in our need for God's Holy Spirit, God's anointing to be upon us. How much of God's anointing you know about, but I know there's a real anointing of the Holy Ghost, and I want you to have that anointing. I really do. I want you to have that anointing, and you can have that anointing. Now, unknown tongues or other tongues, there are different, there's different divisions here. There is other tongues, the tongues of the world. There are the tongues of angels the Bible talks about. And then there are unknown tongues, which is the language of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. The language of God. That's what the Bible says. Now you say, wait. Brother Chambers, you're losing me. No, I'm not losing you. You just hadn't learned. You just hadn't read the Bible. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Now you got to hear that. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Now, how many of you out there would want to know about talking directly with God? How many of you want to know that prayer is direct communion with God? Well, everybody believes that prayer is communion with God, but most people do not understand that the real power in prayer is when you pray in the Holy Spirit, when you pray in the power of the Holy Ghost, when you pray in tongues. Unknown tongues is direct communion with God. I'm going to give you 15 reasons why I believe and why I pray in the Holy Spirit and why you ought to pray in the Holy Spirit. If I could turn about 100 of you, or 200 of you maybe, into praying regular in the Holy Ghost. I don't mean not just jabbering. I mean praying until the language of the Holy Ghost is manifest in you by the person of the Holy Spirit, by the person of the Holy Ghost. If I could get 100 or so of you praying with me like that, we'd turn the world upside down. We'd turn the world upside down. Pentecostals used to pray like that. That's when Pentecostals were the power. The revival of 1906, when it fell in Azusa Street, California, and people from all over the world went there, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then they went in all kinds of places in the world. You remember, you older people, Reverend Gar, who came to Charlotte and started the Gar Tabernacle that used to be on Tuckasegee. It moved across town, and of course, long ago, they're no longer a real Pentecostal unless they've changed. I hope they have. But he was a Holy Ghost-filled man. Many miracles, many wonderful miracles. I mean, it was marvelous what Reverend Gar brought to Charlotte, North Carolina, because he went to Azusa and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and came to know what it meant to pray in the Holy Ghost. I can take you to church revival after revival where they prayed in the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. Did you know that Martin Luther, who started the Reformation, was said to have had all the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost in his life? He spoke in tongues. He interpreted speaking in tongues. He prayed in the Holy Ghost. If the historians are right, and I presume the historians are right, I won't there. You understand? The historians say he had all 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, that's how revival comes. That's what's going to happen when this awakening comes that I'm praying for. And it's about to start. I'm here to tell you, it's about to start. I know that without a question. The mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost is very near to the moment of a new pouring out in which the Spirit of God is going to come like a storm. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your old men shall have dreams. Your young men shall see visions. On your handmaidens and your servants, the Bible says God will move and they will prophesy. It's coming. It's about to happen. I'm trying to get you ready. I'm really trying to get you ready for it. And most of you aren't interested, maybe. Many of you may be. I'm not sure. But I'm telling you, it's coming. I'm going to be a part of it. I believe that's what I'm going to experience before I go on to heaven. I'm only 83. I could have at least 10, 20 years. And I'm believing for the sovereign move. I don't want to wait 10 years for it. I want it this year. And I believe it's going to start before the end of this year. A Holy Ghost awakening is coming to Charlotte. Going to start in Charlotte, maybe. I don't know where it starts, but it may start in Charlotte. That suits me. I want to be in the middle of it, wherever it starts. There's no such thing as people getting the credit. What are you going to do, Reverend Chambers, if a Holy Ghost revival starts? Get out of God's way and stay out of God's way. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Stay out of God's way. That's the most important thing we preachers will do when real Holy Ghost revival comes, is we'll stay out of God's way because it'll be a sovereign move. It won't come from me. It won't come from any other individual. It will come by the Holy Ghost. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14. Now, don't know where. Don't you cut that television, well, maybe you're on television if you're on the internet. Don't you cut that radio off or your tech or your Facebook off. I want you to hear me. I want to get you stirred up. I want to get you hungry. Oh, I want you starving for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I want you so hungry for God to move that you pray and weep before God for your lost loved ones and your lost friends, that you become a prayer warrior, that you make the altar in your church a place of Holy Ghost fire, because that's the kind of churches it's coming to. If your church don't even have an altar, and if there's no Holy Ghost fire on your altar from men and women praying, it ain't coming to your church. It won't come there till the fire's burning. Are you listening to me? It won't come there till the Holy Ghost fire is burning. It cannot come until the Holy Ghost fire is burning. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. For no man, nobody on the face of the earth understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Notice that. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh an unknown tongue edifieth himself. See, how do you edify yourself? How do you build up your spiritual life? How do you become strong in the power of the Holy Ghost? Is you allow the Holy Ghost to pour his language through you, and you are praying and talking to God in God's language. The Bible said we sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Bible speaks of a prayer chamber, a place of prayer, a place of mighty prayer in the very secret chamber of God. In the very secret chamber of God. I was in that chamber this week. One morning, I'd been here about 3 hours praying, and the Spirit of God moved in that sanctuary, and God just overshadowed me with the Holy Ghost, and I was crying out to God with all my heart. And literally, I've never prayed as intimately with the Father as I had the privilege of praying this week. I don't deserve none of it. I'm just a servant of the Lord. I'm just an old-fashioned Pentecostal. I received the Holy Ghost when I was 18 years old. I'm now 83. You know how many years ago that was? That was 65 years ago. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was in a tent meeting. Sawdust on the floor. I got down that night before the Lord, the little old dumb kid, 18 years old, so hungry for God. I was starving for God. I was yearning for God. I met my wife during this revival where I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Met her mother first, then met my wife. Her mother invited me to come down to their house, which was right down below where the tent was. And I went down and ate dinner with them in the evening because I was staying in the tent at night, and met Juanita and Pat and the other members of the family. I remember saying to Ms. Huffines, Mama, you're just so precious, and you've invited me to eat. I want to win you to the Church of God. I was part of the Church of God then. And she said, okay. I said, I want to help you get your family there. She said, okay, let's do that. I said, will you promise me one of your daughters if we get all your family in the church? She said, I promise you, Joe, one of my daughters. That was Juanita. Isn't that cute? Not just cute, that's wonderful. Listen to me. I'm telling you, this Pentecostal power is outstanding. Didn't mean to tell a little of my story, but it came in there. And you got to hear that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh, edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. See, all 9 gifts are for the church. But speaking in tongues is not just for the church. It can be when a message is given in tongues and interpreted. But the main purpose of speaking in tongues is to get people ready, is to get us usable before God. The tongue language of the Holy Ghost is one of the greatest gifts God has ever given his church. Never has there been anything as breathtaking. Now, you can go to the book of Acts, and there's many more verses here. We'll read them along. What I want you to do is get on your phones, and I want the phones to go to work this week, this day. I want to answer question after question about this beautiful truth of the ministry of tongues in the Pentecostal experience, the ministry of tongues in the Pentecostal church. Most Pentecostal churches have dropped it. They've even forbid it. They put it behind because they backslid. I mean, they've left their first love. They've gone after a sociological gospel. They've gone after an easy living and no standards. Let me tell you, when a revival comes, holiness will be at the heart of it. There's no such thing as a sovereign move of God and without old-fashioned righteousness and holiness and purity living. You get full of the Holy Ghost, you just don't want to be full of this world. It's just the way it is. And you can't have both, but you can't be full of the world and the Spirit at the same time. That's an impossibility, I'm telling you. So the mighty work of the Holy Spirit is one of the most wonderful truths. Let me read to you about the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. I'm expecting that to happen. I'm expecting sounds from heaven to come again to the church. I'm expecting fire to stand over church buildings wherever this Holy Ghost revival is breaking out. I'm expecting such a move of God that sinners will come running to the church because their sins will become so overwhelming to them. Let me tell you something, a book I got. Somebody brought this book to me, don't have a cover. It's just an old part of a book that came from a Presbyterian background. And they told in that Presbyterian book about a revival at Paul Creek, right here in Charlotte, right over here where our church originated, about 3 miles from where I'm sitting right now. There came a revival to the Presbyterian church. And it was a tent meeting out in the woods. They set up tents, and they had 10,000 audience that came to that Presbyterian revival, right here at Paul Creek now, 10,000. And one day, one of the community men that hated this thing that was happening, he got on his horse. It was a horse and buggy day. Got on his horse and came riding through the tent meeting. This is in the book published by the Presbyterian Church, okay? I'm not telling you something I heard. I'm telling you something I read in an original, genuine book. And here was this man mad at this Pentecostal revival, and he came riding through it on his horse, trying to disrupt the place, and something, and we know what that something was, it was God, knocked him off his horse, and he fell down on the ground near his horse, and he couldn't get up, and he started realizing he was in a struggle with God, and he laid there and struggled and trying to get up, trying to get a hold of things, and he finally began to pray. And started repenting of his sins and started turning to God. And this Presbyterian elder probably may have been one of the clergymen, he finally prayed through and got saved and got up and became a part of this great outpouring of the Presbyterian church right here at Paul Creek. And I can take you, I don't know whether you're on Facebook or not, but did you hear the story of Mary Pierham? Mary Pierham, she got saved in the revival that took place on the Hebrides Island. This was in 1949, and she got converted to Christ. She was a 19-year-old girl, and her testimony is on my Facebook. You ought to go hear it. It is breathtaking. If you don't want to go to my Facebook, go to the computer. What's the name of that outfit? I'm forgetting them all. But you can find it on internet. Mary Pierham, 1949, Hebrides Island Revival. Hebrides, that's all you got to ask for. It'll come up, and you can listen to it. And everything I'm telling you, the same thing. It happened at Yale University in 1905, 1906, 1907. I mean, it happened in all kinds of places over the years, great awakenings. And always there was a moving of the Holy Ghost in the middle of it. I read about one in London, and the preacher there was the old-timer that we all have heard about and loved, and the Holy Ghost was being poured out. I got those notes in my material. and tells about people speaking in tongues and praying in the Holy Ghost. My friend, I'm here to tell you, praying in the Holy Ghost is a powerful experience, and you need it. Your kids are lost and about to go to hell. You got sons and daughters in sodomy and lesbianism. You got kids going to all kinds of wicked ways, and you want to see them come back to God. Well, praying in the power of the Holy Ghost. If God is teaching me anything at this time in my life, we come to pray every morning, 5:30, 6 o'clock. We pray 2, 1, 2, 3 hours, and we are having some of the greatest prayers I've ever been around in my life. I'm not bragging on the prayers. It's not us. We can't do anything. We're just coming to God. We're waiting on God. The Bible says they that wait on God, that he will do things that their eyes have never seen and their ears have never heard. You want the scripture for that? Then go to Isaiah 64, and you'll find it about verse 4 or 5, okay? Isaiah 64. I'm telling you, God is wanting to pour out this mighty power of the Holy Ghost. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, and it named all these nations, Parthenes and Medes and Elamites and Mesopotamia and Cappadocia and Pamphylia and Asia and Phrygia and Egypt and Libya and Cyrene and Rome. I mean, names all these nations. It said they did hear them speak in their own language wherein they were born. Here are people from Rome. Here are people from Libya. Here are people from Cappadocia. Here are people from Asia. Here are people from all kinds of places. And they come with the language they spoke in their language, in their country. And here are these humble Galileans. All of them were Galileans. Humble Galileans, and they were speaking in their language wherein they were born. And 3,000 were born again, saved, born again that very day because of the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the power of the Holy Spirit, the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. I've heard so many testimonies of humble African girls receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, totally uneducated, totally given only to the dialect of their given community, and they'd begin to speak in perfect English because they were just filled with the Holy Ghost. Or maybe they were people who spoke in English, but they began to speak in the language of some other country. And I've heard so many tests. In fact, one Sunday morning, I was preaching here in the old church on Little Rock Road, and someone a church in here in Charlotte, can't say the name of the church, came that morning, and I was preaching, and somewhere during the process of my preaching, the anointing was on me, and I spoke for a few minutes in French language. I didn't know what I was speaking, and I was just praising God. The Holy Ghost was upon me, and the Spirit of God was uttering those words through me, and these people were French people. They could speak in French. And so they went to one of my members that week and said, "Where did your pastor learn French?" They said, "He don't know French." "No, well, I don't know English real good, but he don't know French." And they said, "Well, he sure was talking it beautifully Sunday morning when we were there. He just spoke a couple sentences, but it was beautiful French." And they'd heard it from me. You know, well, I'm nothing. I'm just an ordinary Christian. I'm nothing special. I just love God and belong to this Bible and belong to Jesus Christ. And I'm trying my best to get people excited about the move of the Holy Ghost in their life. Now, I got 15 reasons here. I'm going to put this on Facebook in a little while. Every one of you who have Facebook, you ought right now to share this program. It needs to go to thousands. This program needs to go. We're fixing to have a sovereign move in America. God's Holy Ghost is going to come down. This church is going to be part of it. I don't know what part we're going to play. I just know we're going to play part of it. And I know the revival is coming. I'm going to be in the middle of it. As sure as my name is Joseph Chambers, I would rather die than miss this coming Holy Ghost revival. I'm excited. I feel it with all my heart. I know it's about to happen. There's no question in my mind it's about to happen. And I want you in the middle of it. I want churches all over America in the middle of it. I want it to go all over the world. I want Africa. I want Libya. I want Pakistan. We got a lot of listeners in Pakistan. Hey, you folks in Pakistan, get on your faces every morning early. Get up at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock your time there. Get on your knees for an hour or two. Do it regular. Get a group of you. If it's not but two, if it's six, you know, it may not be but one. Well, you get there and you stay there week after week, month after month. We've been doing it here 15 months now. And we're really, really at the very threshold of a Holy Ghost break, of a Holy Ghost outpouring. God has to do it. We can't do it. You can't decide these sovereign moves. God decides them. Isaiah prayed this way, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence." Study the book of the Old Testament books of Moses and the children of Israel in the wilderness when God was pouring out his hand upon them and speaking to them. And God would come down on the mountain. And they would say, "Please, Moses, tell God not to come down. You just tell us what God said because we can't handle it." Well, that's about how most people feel today. I could handle that. Well, I admit you won't be able to handle it until you get on your knees and get right with God. But your sins will become as dark as they really are. If you're talking about people feeling how sinful they are, your fornication, your adultery, your habits of uncleanness, they're going to get a hold of you and you're going to start repenting and crying out to God. That will start any minute. It may start today. It may start while I'm having this broadcast. I'm telling you that a sovereign move of God is in the making right now. Right now in the making. When's it going to break like a fire from heaven? I don't know the moment. I know that David said that thou wouldest come down like rain on the mown grass. Those were the words of the psalmist David. That you would come down like rain on the mown grass. I'm going to preach in the morning from Isaiah 35 on streams in the desert. Streams in the desert. You read those first verses you got to start with verse 35, I believe it is, 34, somewhere like that. Isaiah 35, I'm trying to remember the exact scripture, but it's in Isaiah 35, and you go till you find about streams in the desert. You've heard that for years. There's a book written by Streams in the Desert. Well, I'm going to preach on it tomorrow because those streams are about to start flowing. We are on the verge of it. We studied scriptures Wednesday night. About the coming revival. You can go and hear Mary's testimony on YouTube. That's what the name of the outfit is on YouTube. Mary Perham, P-E-A-R-H-A-M. Mary Perham. Perham. I don't know how to say it. You go look for it. Okay? And listen to that sermon. It'll stir your heart. I sat and listened and squalled. I mean, I was just a-crying out to God. This is what I'm looking for. Sinners. Under conviction of sin, couldn't go anywhere in the community. Walk down the street and you'd hear the preacher preaching. Not really hearing, but your head was hearing. And the Holy Ghost was getting the hold. It's going to get a hold of you. You live all over the city. You live out in areas around, maybe Shelby, maybe Concord, maybe Gastonia. You're going to feel it. The Holy Ghost revival is coming. I'm telling you, people in Presbyterian churches are going to feel it. People in Catholic churches are going to feel it. God's going to break through that old religiosity that rules in most churches. And preachers, they get saved, they'll start preaching the old-time gospel. They'll start wanting to see people get born again and washed in the blood and cleaned up from their sins. And the things of wickedness will depart the communities and people will start living right. And men will quit being unfaithful to their wives and wives will quit being unfaithful to their husbands. And mamas and dads will quit being unfaithful to their children. And they'll start getting a revival in their hearts. And that's what we got to have. Now, I'm waiting for calls. I know I've been going here like a bullet. Okay, grab your phone, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Are you ready for a Holy Ghost break? Are you ready for the Spirit of God to saturate you? Are you ready to be filled with the Holy Ghost until you become part of this revival? Are you ready to know? Now, I want to give you, I don't have time to do them all, but let me give you some of these 15 reasons. And again, it's going to be on Facebook, going to be on the internet. Or you can order a copy right now. You can call and say, "Send me a copy of this broadcast. I want a CD of the program, and I want the printed material that Brother Chambers has in his hand. I want this printed material, 15 reasons why I believe in praying in the Holy Ghost." You know what Jude said, don't you? Jude was a half-brother of the Lord. He said, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And you know what Paul said in Jude 8? You know what he said? He said, we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself or itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And when the Spirit prays for you, he don't pray what you're thinking. He prays what the Holy Ghost and God is thinking. The prayer becomes God's will in your prayer, not your will in your prayer. That's in Romans chapter 8. Go read it. I believe it's verse 25, 26, 27, right along there. You know not how to pray as you ought, but the Spirit helpeth your prayers. He intercedes for you, in you, but for you. And it comes through your mouth, your lips, but it's not your words. It's his words. That's the Holy Ghost praying. And that's, man, I received this baptism when I was 18. I'm 83. I've been filled with this Holy Ghost anointing 65 years. And I'm here to tell you, it's always been wonderful. I get on my knees. I remember evangelists would come to preach a revival. And I'd say, men, you know what you need? You need to get on your face and pray till the Holy Ghost does some praying in you and starts praying through you. And I remember an evangelist saying, Brother Chambers, you've changed my ministry. Since I've been praying and letting the Holy Ghost anoint me, I'm preaching like a different man. Yeah, it'll make you preach like a different man. You'll preach with an anointing. The unction of the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Most Pentecostals today are just loud. Most Pentecostal preachers today are just loud. That's all they are. I get so tired of it, I feel like screaming. Why don't you get somewhere and stay for a few hours and pray through? And then you'll pray with an anointing instead of just loud, loud, loud. I can't handle it. I mean, I'm making a nuisance out of myself with preachers every which way. The Pentecostal preachers, some of them are fussing at me and aggravated at me because I'm telling them if you don't pray a couple hours a day, you don't have a right to call yourself no preacher. Just get your job and sell cars or do something until you learn to pray and get on your face and stay there. Stay there. I see preachers all the time. They can't spend 10 minutes. They can't spend 10 minutes. They already flew before they get started because they haven't learned to pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. They haven't learned to pray in tongues. Now, let's talk about it. I'm trying my best to get to my notes here. We are all persons of human weaknesses. Why do we need to pray in the Holy Ghost? Because we're persons of human weaknesses. I'm not big enough to pray to the great God in my power. I need an anointing. I need something bigger than me. You got to understand how little you are. If you think you're something, you're nothing. That's when you are nothing. It's when you think you're something. I mean, I see so much of this, and I'm crying out against it. Now, regardless of how saintly we are, we still see through a glass darkly. You remember that verse in 1 Corinthians 13? We're not big giants. We're not some kind of super dupers. We see through a glass darkly. Every one of us, me, you, all of us. That's why we need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to show you why I believe in praying in the Holy Ghost. Number three, the need in the kingdom is those we minister to is beyond us. I don't know how to pray for many of the people I know. I got a call last night from a couple. Their name is, I want to say it, and it didn't come out, Bill and Susan. They were off in the car to go to, I think it was Duke University. They got a granddaughter that's deeply, seriously ill, maybe even at the point of death. And they called me, please pray for us, Brother Chambers. Please pray for us. Why? They were desperate. They don't know how to pray. They go to a dead Pentecostal church, and they're spiritually dead themselves. They're wonderful people. I love them dearly. I didn't give the last name so I can say these things. I'm telling you, they need a miracle from God. And so they were calling on me to pray for them. I get that all the time. People who have not learned to pray. They feel helpless when they go to pray. And that's because they need the fire of the Holy Ghost upon them. The need of the kingdom are such that we need something bigger than us. We need something bigger than we are. Me, you, all of us. We need an anointing from the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm talking about. Praying till the Holy Ghost prays through me. So that here I become a mighty giant in the Holy Ghost when I'm nothing in myself. That's what happens when you pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. You become a giant in prayer while you're just a little man or woman, lovely, loving the Lord and living a saintly life. Then our battle is spiritual. I pray in the Holy Ghost, because the battle is spiritual. It's not physical. It's not just in the flesh. It's just not carnal stuff. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, Paul said to the Ephesians. We wrestle against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. We got a battle that we're involved in. You need power. You need anointing. I'm telling you why you need to pray in the Holy Ghost. The highest form of prayer in the world is praying in other tongues, unknown tongues. The highest form of prayer in the world is praying in unknown tongues. Do you know when you pray in unknown tongues that the devil don't know an ounce of what you're saying? The devil can't send his demons to fight against you because he don't know what you're saying. The devil can't even interpret the unknown tongues. I mean, I can't even interpret them unless the Holy Ghost gives me the interpretation. The devil sure can't interpret them. So that you utterly defeat the devil when you pray in the Holy Ghost. You utterly defeat the devil. It's the highest form of prayer in the world. It's the highest form of prayer in the world. The only prayer beyond Satan's reach. I just told you that. The only prayer beyond Satan's reach. To reach a level of consecration with our Father, far beyond the power of the flesh. When I go to praying and I stay there a while until the Holy Ghost anointing comes. See, most people never pray long enough and devoted enough and consecrated enough to ever pray in the Holy Ghost. The anointed of the Holy Ghost. I hear people praying and they jabber. Something you know, sounds like sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. I mean, no power at all. Stay on your knees for a couple hours. Pray, consecrate yourself, claim the blood to cleanse you. I've been telling God, God, contend with me. Anything about me that's not like you want it to be, just rake me over the coals, drag me through the altar. I mean, get me straight, God, so that Joe Chambers is dead to Christ and alive, dead to the world and alive to Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life which now I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I just got a call on the phone, so I'm letting them hear me. That way they'll know not to call me between 1 and 2 o'clock. Maybe they'll get saved. Maybe they'll go to their Facebook. Maybe they'll go to their internet. Maybe they'll go to the radio. I don't know. Listen to me. I'm telling you, when you pray in the Spirit, something dynamic is happening. It's a powerful way of waiting upon the revelations of God. Some of the greatest revelations of the Bible I ever got was when I was praying in the Spirit. I'd just pray and wait before God. I'd seek the face of God. I'd wait on Him. Wait on Him and keep waiting on Him. And before you know it, here come the anointing. I'm telling you, I'd begin to pray with a power and the Scriptures would become open. I'd begin to see things I never saw. I would hear things by the Holy Ghost I'd never heard. You see things with eyes and hear things with ears in the Holy Ghost that you can't hear in the natural. It's impossible. See, most of the church world is nothing but a bunch of carnal people trying to carry on religious activity. No power, no anointing, no unction, only prayer beyond Satan's reach. Build a bulwark of power. It builds a bulwark of power, a bulwark of power in the Spirit. Something happens. See, you have a spirit. You're not just flesh. You're soul and flesh and spirit. And the Spirit is kin to God. It's God's breath in you. Well, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, that part of your person begins to grow, builds up. The Bible calls it fat in the Holy Ghost. Most people are fat with too much food. This is fat in the Spirit. Fat in building a bulwark in your own personal spirit. But Paul said, I pray in I speak in tongues more than you all. He said, I pray in the Spirit and I pray with the understanding. I pray in the Spirit and I pray with the understanding. I sing in the Spirit, he said, and I sing with the understanding. That's biblical. That's the way it is. You sing in the Spirit. You sing with the understanding. You pray in the Spirit. You pray with the understanding. They both are important, imperatively important for you. And so that's another reason. And then praying in the Spirit is being hid away with God. Praying in the Holy Ghost is being hid away, lost in the Spirit, hid away with God, given utterly over to God, given utterly over to God's sweet Holy Ghost. Given utterly over to God's wonderful work in your life. There's nothing like it. And it's a secret place to get alone with God. I like that. A secret place. Do you know I've been a Christian 67 years now and a half. And I like to get alone with God. I like to get somewhere and just get hid. Just hid with God. And he just comes and covers me like a blanket. And I just revel in the joy. Sing, pray, read, just live it in the Holy Ghost. I've been telling God lately, I want to live in the Spirit every day the rest of my life. I want to live in the Holy Ghost. I want to live in the power of God, a secret place to hide with God, a place where the Spirit can weep for you, a place where the Holy Ghost in you can weep for the lost. I like that. A place where the Holy Ghost in you can weep for the lost. Lost kids and lost family. What will happen to your children, your family, if you'd start being an old-fashioned prayer warrior, praying in the power of the Holy Ghost? What do you think would happen to your family? I'll tell you, they're going to fall under conviction. That's right now what I'm doing. I got my family on the altar. I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm waiting on God till every one of my kids and my grandkids and now my great-grandkids. I got 3 children. I got 6 grandchildren. All 6 of them are married. I got 6 in-laws. My 3 kids and their husbands' wives. That's 6. Well, actually 5. Teresa's her husband left her. But then you've got your 6 grandkids and 6 more, and now I've got 4 great-grands and 1 more on the way. And I'm believing God. That's 20-something. I'm believing God to save every one of them. I'm not going to let one of them go to hell. My son, Andrew, is over in Germany. He left Thursday from Maine to get back to Germany. Should have got there sometime late yesterday. I'm telling you, God's going to save that boy. He's got a doctorate degree, well, on the verge of a doctorate degree. He teaches English in an international school in Germany. And I'm claiming God to save him, make a Holy Ghost missionary out of him, set him on fire. You watch. You listen. I'll be telling you one of these Saturdays, hey, Andrew just got saved. God sanctified him and filled him with the Holy Ghost. That's what we must do. We've got to get back to that kind of praying. The Lord got a hold of me this week and showed me that much of the prayer in the church world is of no value. The church has lost that old-fashioned prayer mode that existed when I first got saved. I mean, they'd go to the woods. They'd get into the church for hours. I mean, men of God would pray half the night. Night after night, they'd have all-night prayer meetings. I mean, I remember all of that. My son received the baptism about 1 o'clock in the morning, praying in an all-night prayer meeting. I'm telling you, that old-fashioned praying is the only answer. And that's where the Holy Ghost has got to come into play. If you're not praying until the Holy Ghost anoints you, then you're not really no prayer warrior at all. If you're not praying till the Holy Ghost anoints you, until he anoints you and you just revel in the Holy Ghost for sometime hours, then you're not a prayer warrior. You're just a lukewarm, maybe at best a lukewarm, probably not even ready for the rapture. If you can't pray till the Holy Ghost mightily comes on you, you're probably just lukewarm and not even ready to go in the rapture. Isn't that horrible to think about? You say, brother, the chambers, you're so tough. No, I'm not tough. I'm just biblical. I just believe to stay in the Bible. Stay in the Bible. Now, I've given you so much. I really have. And all of this is going to be on the internet. It's going to be on Facebook. It's going to be available right here at the office. We're making a CD. You can get the CD. You can get this article. You can get it on Facebook. You can get it on internet. I'm telling you, you've got to get with it and get this fire burning in your life. You say, I'm a Baptist. I don't believe in praying and speaking in tongues. Well, get good and saved. Get good and sanctified. Isn't that good? Baptist people who are saved. I'm not saying there aren't. I believe that with all my heart. I'm not careless. I believe there are good people everywhere you look. I believe there's people in the Catholic Church that are saved. They're in places where that's all they can have. They have to go there if they go to church, and they have to go not even listen to the preacher, just talk to God while they're in church. And God, of course, one by one leads them out and delivers them and helps them to find the right place. And so God's saving people wherever somebody repents. I don't care where you are. If you're a Hindu and you get on your knees and you begin to call on Jesus, he'll save you in a Hindu camp somewhere. See, that's God. God loves you. God loves everybody. And he said, in these last days, I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh. You got that. All flesh. That's in Acts 2. Acts 2, and he said the last days, the last of the last, at the end time. And you know the Bible said when the gospel is preached into all nations, that would be when Jesus would come. And did you know right now I'm preaching this to all the nations of the world? Anywhere you would be living, if you've got a phone or you've got a computer, you can get Brother Chambers. You can get Brother Chambers. I'm telling you, we are living in a wonderful time as far as this gospel. When preachers preach against people being involved in social media, I think how dumb they are. How dumb they are. How about when Paul was preaching? What if he'd preached against the Roman roads? You said the Roman roads, what was wrong with them? Well, they were built to carry the army, to rule the world. They were built to sell all kinds of wares. They were built for the world. They were built to sell. They were built to make money. They were built to make everybody rich. They were built for getting their army wherever they could quail. They were vicious armies. I'm telling you, they were vicious. It put down a religious movement. They tried to do that to the Church of Jesus Christ and couldn't. So the Roman roads was used for terrible reasons. But Paul walked on it, and Jesus walked on it, and the great teachers and preachers and evangelists of that day walked on it. So when somebody says something to me about social media, I said, I'm going to get right in the middle of it and preach Jesus. I'm going to get right in the middle of it and get the message out. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm telling the story of Jesus. I'm talking about the mighty move of the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to get you hungry for a move of the Holy Ghost. Look at this early church. Think about the early church. They were so powerful, so anointed, that Peter could walk down the street and the shadow of the Holy Ghost in Peter, not the shadow of Peter, the shadow of the Holy Ghost through Peter's shadow would heal the sick and cast out demons, and great things would happen. I'm believing God that this church is going to become so full of the Holy Ghost that a sick person gets walk in, sit on a pew, and all of a sudden they say, I'm well. Something's happened. My body, I'm healed. Nobody has to lay their hands on you. Nobody needs to get the credit. That's the last thing we need is people getting credit. That's what ruins revivals. That's what ruins churches. When you got these pretty little guys who want to be pretty boy, and the church world becomes a place of flesh and carnality. And that's not what God wants. God wants a moving of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't guess the phone is wrong. There's somebody on the line right now. I would love to have some calls. Grab the phone. Let's spend the next 15 minutes me answering your questions. Do you know the answer? I think I do. I wouldn't be on promising you I did if I don't. I'll do my best. If I'm wrong, I'll correct me next week. If I don't know the answer, I'll give it to you next Saturday. So grab your phone, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Now, I want some calls right now. I want one after the other. Don't play games with me. Grab your phone. If you haven't already shared it with everybody that you're partners with, you should do that right now so that everybody will hear what we're saying about this wonderful baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Now, again, I want to tell you that unknown tongues is the language of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. The unknown language is the language of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I can read it to you. It is clear. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. No man. Nobody understands that. You're talking to God. You're praying in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit is praying through you. And it's going directly into the prayer room, into the heavenly temple. I mean, God is hearing you while you're praying. And the devil can't hear you, and he can't stop you. See? That's the power of praying in the Holy Ghost. That's the power. And you cannot be baptized in the Holy Ghost and not speak in tongues. The moment you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, he will start talking through you. The moment. Oh, Brother Chambers, I don't believe in that. I believe in the Holy Ghost, but I don't believe in tongues. Well, you just don't know the Bible. You just don't know the truth of the Scripture. I'm sorry. But you need to get this Bible in you. On the day of Pentecost, 120. And all 120 of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. And all 120 of them spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's what the Bible said. Not Brother Chambers, the Bible. And so you need this anointing. You need this unction of the Holy Ghost. You need this move of the Spirit of God in your life. Now grab a phone. I want some questions. I'll do my best to answer. Nobody, I will not tell your name. We don't do that. You just call right now and ask, and the secretary will tell me, and I'll put you right in the line, and we'll talk about whatever of this subject. Now, stay on the subject. We're talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. 9 gifts of the Spirit. You know that. Number 1 is words of wisdom. Number 2 is words of knowledge. Number 3 is faith. Number 4 is gifts of healing. Number 5 is working of miracles. Number 6 is prophecy. Number 7 is discerning of spirits. Number 8 is tongues. And number 9 is interpretation of tongues. These are 9 gifts that are given in the church. History says Martin Luther had all 9 of them operating in his life. I believe that. John Wesley, Methodist revival, the starter of the Methodist Church. John Wesley defended speaking in tongues. He never said he did, but probably did. But he would defend it. He would say, "Don't tell me it's not so. We hear it all the time here." See, when God moves, people will speak in tongues. It's just that simple. This Holy Ghost revival that's coming, I promise you, there's going to be people being full of the Holy Ghost that have never understood it, never known it. And God's going to save them, and then he's going to set them apart in sanctification, make Jesus the center of their life. Then he's going to fill them with the Holy Ghost and fire, and that is going to be an exciting day. Now, the lines, 704-391-0588. I'm going to put that up so that you don't have an excuse, okay? Now, there's the first number on the top, 704-391-0588. Grab your phone and call me. I want to talk to as many who can quickly call. I'll take them one after the other, and we'll try to answer questions. And if you can understand, you've got to be born again. You've got to be born again. That's the first thing that's got to happen in your life. Being full of the Holy Ghost don't save you. He doesn't give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost and tongues to save you. That's for service. That's for evangelism. That's to win the lost. That's to pray. That's to live victoriously. That's to be built up in the faith, the power of God. But the Holy Spirit does come when you're saved. And the great old Baptist preacher said, "When I got saved, I had the Spirit. But when I got baptism, the Holy Spirit had me." I believe that. Every time a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit is part of that. Comes into their life. You have the Holy Spirit from the moment you're saved. But he doesn't hang around there if you don't grow and mature and get on fire and go on to be sanctified. The Baptists used to call sanctification lordship surrender. Lordship surrender. You get under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and then you're ready to receive this wonderful baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm waiting on your calls now. I'm going to put that down. I don't like it there in front of me. But I want you to call. I want to hear from you. I want to talk to you. I want to get this booklet in your hands. I want you to get what's in this booklet. Now, it's going to be on the internet, part of it, not all of it, on Facebook, but all of it on internet, okay? Part of it on Facebook. Those 15 things are going to be, I'm going to put them on Facebook because I want you to get that in your mind. I want you to get that in your heart. I want to get you excited about the mighty work of the Holy Ghost. And if you want to be in a church that believes in it, you come in the morning. I'm preaching on streams in the desert. From Isaiah 35, you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. 5110 Tuckasegee Road, right here in Charlotte. 5110, 5110. You got that? 5110 Tuckasegee Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Love to have you in church in the morning. Our morning worship starts at 11, and we feed all our visitors a lunch. We feed all of our visitors a lunch. Now, give us a call. I really want you on the line. I want to hear from you. I really do. You are on the air. May I help you, please? You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Hello?
Hey.
Hi, Pastor Chambers.
Hey.
Hello. My name is Renee Holtzman. I just rededicated my life to Christ, and I got water baptized in my meeting place here in Charlotte. I'm currently at work right now, so I can't be on the phone too long, but I would love to get baptized with the Holy Spirit. I feel like that's what I need. I read my Bible every night. I read a chapter every night. And, you know.
You need the baptism. And you give yourself to Christ and let Jesus be the Lord of all, everything. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. And then you begin, first you seek Jesus. First you ask him to come over your life until you're set apart with him. And then you believe him, and he'll fill you. I tell you, you can't get sanctified and the Holy Ghost not come in. He's looking for sanctified people right now.
But listen, I had a test. I had a gentleman at my place. This to speak. Any other time, I would give in to, you know, confession, but I couldn't, and I started crying, and because I kept thinking, you know, is it going to be like this all the time whenever I meet somebody, you know? And I know I should never had them there, but, you know, I don't know, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't commit fornication. I just couldn't do it, but I prayed when he left. I got on my knees, and I prayed, and I never done that before. I never like this.
Well, you just need to dig in. You need to go to a church that's full of the Holy Ghost. I get that you probably aren't in a Holy Ghost-filled church. Now, you need a church full of the Holy Ghost because that will help you get ready for the baptism.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
All by all means, you need a church full of the Holy Ghost. I don't understand people going to churches that don't even believe in the baptism. They never hear it preached. They never hear somebody speaking in tongues. They never see somebody praying in the altar to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And they never see anybody healed either. Because you got to be a move of the Holy Ghost for people to be healed. In fact, people don't even get saved without a move of the Holy Ghost. Most people going to the altar today, they just get religion. They don't get born again. How long has it been since you saw somebody pray and weep and sob until they come up with joy in their heart?
Yes, yes.
All right. Now, did you give our lady your address?
No, sir.
I'm going to put you on hold. You give her your address, and I'm going to send you a couple sermons, and I'm going to send you material, okay? And so you hang right there, and she will grab that phone immediately, okay? So hold on. Trying to hit the right button. I got it, I think. Yeah, I did. And they'll take care of that, sweetheart. And we'll send her some good material. And if you haven't called, why don't you grab your phone and call? We're right here ready to be a blessing to you. We're ready to help you. You need this wonderful baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I need some more calls. I'd like to have several because that lady was good. You see, a hungry heart. She's yearning for the baptism. Yet she probably never don't know where there's a good Holy Ghost-filled church. May not be one in her area. That's so often the case. There's some good Baptist churches, and there's some good, clean, godly people in some Baptist churches, but they don't preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, if ever there was a day when the church, this move that's coming, these Baptist churches are going to be turned upside down when the Holy Ghost falls in them. Preacher starts getting full of the Holy Ghost himself. That's one thing I want to see happen right here is preachers coming from all kinds of churches and getting the baptism. That's what happened in Azusa Street. People would go there from every kind of denomination, every kind of background. They'd get full of the Holy Ghost. And I mean, it would set their communities on fire. I mean, that's how the Church of God started, was out of that. The church that I was part of for 40-some years started out of Azusa Street. Not the actual Azusa Street, but the result of Azusa Street. And I'm telling you, it's the need of the hour. It's the need of the hour. It's a mighty move of the Holy Ghost. And listen to me. A move of the Holy Ghost is right at the door. Whew! Great day. I'm expecting it to start today, tomorrow. I wouldn't doubt in a morning it doesn't fall in this place while I'm preaching. And we have an outpouring and people start running to the altar getting saved. I'm going to be looking for the cars to stop on that. I'm telling you, the conviction is going to be out on the roads. It's going to get so. In the days of some of those revivals, even the police stations would call and say, I got people down here at the police station laying on the ground all around the police station under Holy Ghost conviction. They're crying out to be saved. We don't know how to help them. Come send somebody down here. See, it's going to take some good Holy Ghost-filled people to handle what's coming. And so if you're a Pentecostal, get yourself ready to be part of what's coming. Get yourself ready to help people. Get yourself in the middle of it now. Don't wait till after it starts. Get in it now. Oh, I'm telling you, we need several. I mean, we need 100 new people in this church getting ready for what God is fixing to do for us. I don't have enough. This church is just like the whole church world. It's not been on fire like it ought to be. And we're waiting on God, crying out to God, and it's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. I don't even doubt it. You look at my face and tell it's coming. I wouldn't be saying this. Have I ever prophesied to you and told you something and it didn't happen? You know I haven't. 45 years. What did I tell you about Hillary Clinton, that she'd never be president? I preached that to you 10 years. Everybody laughed at me. Everybody. I'll never forget a few days before the election this past, at that time, I was over at the hospital. And here was a Church of God preacher came out. He said, Brother Chambers, He said this out for everybody here. Brother Chambers, we're going to find out on such and such date whether you're a false prophet or not. I said, listen, buddy, I'm not worried about it. When God speaks, I know she will not be elected. And she was not. I mean, are you hearing me? I'm telling you, we're fixing to have a sovereign move. And you can play around, miss it, miss the rapture, even lose your soul. You know what I'm saying is right. You Pentecostals, you've been around this all, many of you, all your life. And you're just as cold and lukewarm as you can be. You haven't prayed in the Holy Ghost in months. I'm talking about really pray. I don't mean just say a few words. I'm talking about pray. The Holy Ghost grieving before God, crying out for revival. God is looking for the people who are ready to be part of a Pentecostal outpouring. He really is, and I'm ready. Oh, I can hardly wait. You can tell I'm on fire. Woo! I'm telling you, I'm looking for it. It's going to happen. It's coming any moment now. I got a few minutes. I got time for one more call. I've got about 3 minutes. Would you grab your phone? Grab your phone if you want to call. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to help you. I'd love to answer your question. Grab a phone, call and get this material, get this article. If you don't have internet, you don't have Facebook, or you don't have internet where you can go get this article, you can't. You have to read it off the internet. You can order it right now. We'll send it to you Monday, Tuesday, no later. Okay? If you want this article, all about why I believe in praying in the Spirit, why you need to learn to let God have you and pray in the Holy Ghost. Preachers, listen to me, every preacher out there. Get full of the Holy Ghost, man. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Go find you a place in your church altar. Immediately. Spend some nights in prayer. Start spending every morning 2 or 3 hours in prayer. If you don't pray 2 or 3 hours every morning, quit trying to preach with emotions. Get on fire and let the Holy Ghost fall upon you. Let God get a hold of you. I'm telling this to everybody I know. I'm making preachers bothered at me. I can't help it. I mean, preachers are one of the biggest problems right now in the church world. There's so few of them really full of the Holy Ghost. They got a little bit of a touch, and you know, once in a while, there's a little zephyr, but most of the time it's nothing. I'm crying out for the move of the Holy Ghost like we have never seen. Are you hearing me? I'm crying out for a move of the Holy Ghost like we've never seen. Now, I know I've got a minute and a half here. I could take one more call. I would love to. You do understand that praying in unknown tongues is the language of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. No man understandeth you. You're talking directly to God, and the devil can't understand you. You need this baptism of the Holy Ghost, brother. Dear preacher, dear Baptist brother, I love you, brother. There are many of you wonderful men. You got a good heart. You need this baptism of the Holy Ghost so that you turn your congregation upside down. I'll lose half of them. Well, he'll give you half more when this revival starts, and more than that. The Lord's told us that he's going to fill this church. He has told us that, and we don't have a big crowd yet, but that big crowd's coming. If you want a fixed seat, you better get it now, because in a few weeks it may not be available for you. I want you to get ready. The Lord is coming. I want you to get ready. The Lord is coming. Do you understand? I want you to get ready. The Lord is coming any minute now, any minute now. I love you. I really do love you. I'm proud of bringing this to you today. It's been from God, not me. That article will tell you the story. It'll give you all of it. Got a CD of this. We'll mail you that. Call the lady. She'll stay right in there and answer that phone as long as it rings. So call right now, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. Call immediately. Come to church in the morning. Hear me preach that sermon on streams in the desert. Woo! I get excited when I think about preaching. I love preaching. I am a preaching man. I love preaching the word. I really do. I really do. Well, let's go back here and get this song on. I want you to hear it. Wait a minute. No. That's not the right song. I got to go back. Here we go. Now, Amazing Grace. I love you. God bless you. Jesus is coming, and I'm leaving. When he comes, I'm gone. You understand? When he comes.
Amazing Grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me. upon my faults and soul my knees. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view just why he